The podcast is loading alongside Lodex. Become a Lodex legend. Book at lodex.com.au. Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Your local tyre power. Save on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres. Buy three, get one free at Tyre Power.
Suki, suki, la, la.
Oh, wow. Mark Bickley out, Bryce Gibbs in. Podcast today, we spoke to a couple of Marks. So we got rid of one Mark and we brought two Marks in. Out Bickley, in Keane and in Milligan. I just realised that then.
Very clever from you, Jared.
Thanks.
Well worked out.
Thanks so much. So it was great to have you back today, and you'll find soon enough you'll feel a little bit tired and fatigued, and not much has changed in Studio Lumo. The car park is still crap out the back. Yeah. It's really challenging to get into. Hindley Street hasn't got any better, and everyone's kind of vanished from gathering. And there's a bit of something on the window there at Studio Lumo where someone's had a big weekend.
Yeah, that doesn't look great, does it? But luckily, we are well positioned here down at 1 King Will. Lumo Studio. You can see everything happening. But yeah, there's a few fatigued heads out there from Gather Round. I'm fatigued. I know you're fatigued.
Yeah, I'm fatigued.
You've had a big couple of days.
Did you catch up with any of your Carlton teammates while they were here?
I certainly did. A couple assistant coaches, Cade Simpson, the backline coach of Hawthorn, Jeremy Laidler.
As
well, the GWS Giants. Mark Murphy's doing a little bit of media work with another radio station that we don't have to mention.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, it was nice to catch up with a few old buddies.
Did Mark Murphy get on with all of his previous coaches?
I can confirm no.
Okay, that's all I want to say there. I had a conversation with him and it was awkward because I had no idea. But okay, that doesn't matter who or what. That's great. So it brings the footy community together. And let me ask you, who do you love watching at Carlton at the moment that while you were playing there that you wish you could have played with? So someone part of the team now that you go, geez, I wish I played with them when I was at the club.
Well, it has to be Sam Walsh, and I only missed him by one preseason, one off-season. So the year I got traded back to Adelaide, they picked him up, I think, with the number one pick. So I only missed him by a year, but would have loved to play with Sam Walsh.
I like watching them. This might sound like I'm judging someone by how they look physically, but it looks like Harry Mackay's lost a bit of weight, like he's trimmed down a lot. Would that be accurate to say, or am I just having no idea?
That is a great question. I think he's filled out a little bit more.
If
you ask me, so maybe I need glasses or
maybe I'm looking at Ben.
Yeah, potentially.
He's got no idea.
Get them two standing next to each other. It's hard to work out who's who, but I reckon he's bulked up a little bit.
Well, I like watching Carlton, and I only like watching Carlton because I like their supporters, and I love a good atmosphere, and the Blues fans really bring that. And I've never seen this before. Woof!
You never seen that?
I've never seen it before. I've never heard that before.
Wow, it's been a thing they've been doing for a while.
Okay, so this is Saad. He's Adam Saad when he kicks the ball. Oof, there's Eugene Warrior. G'day, Huge. Saw Eugene on the weekend. Sorry, I get distracted during this. But is this because it always is attached to a defender who has a big kick?
Big left foot kick.
Right. So who was Woof when you were playing?
Stemmed off the back of Ange Christou.
Yes.
Through the 90s.
Yeah.
As we know.
Yeah.
Cult figure of the Carlton Footy Club.
Did you have a Woof?
I don't think we had someone that had a left foot that was as penetrating through my era. So, I think it's a great initiative by the Carlton faithful to pick out players and keep that tradition flowing through the years.
The thing that perplexes me, and I've never used that word before, so I'm glad I have, about Adam Saad is that he didn't spend long at Essendon. Something must have gone wrong at Essendon for him to be there for, two seasons and then go, I'm out.
Let's be honest, Essendon, they're rubbish. They're garbage.
All right. Well, that's Bryce Gibbs. Enjoy the podcast. See you later.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past six on this Wednesday.
the 10th of April in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. And a shout out to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. The subvest has been brought in. M. Bickley out. What we thought we'd do is bring in someone of high integrity, character, was drafted higher, and someone who basically floated into Studio Lumo because the baggers are up and about. Bryce Gibbs, good morning. Welcome back to SENSA Breakfast. Lovely to have you.
Good morning, Walshy. Good morning to everyone listening this morning. Yes, and thanks for letting me fill in for the great man, Mark Bickley. It has been a little while between drinks filling in on SEN Breakfast Radio, but good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, mate, and I love what you're wearing. So if you're listening on the app at the moment, and you can have a look in the cameras in Studio Lumo, thanks to Tyre Power, their Power Up sale is now on. You have what I believe is a retro or vintage Carlton Premiers jumper on, like a crew neck. But what I like about it is I can't tell if it's retro or vintage or the original one, which means it's good apparel and well designed. So is it the original or is it a throwback one?
No, it's certainly not the original.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I've had it in the cupboard for a couple of years and I thought it might be a good time to pull it out. Not that I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't know if you know, Walshy, but the last time Carlton were 4-0 to start a season, they went on to win the premiership. In Jeepers. 1995.
Wow. Okay, so it's an omen.
Well, that's what this crew neck is suggesting. Well, this is the premiership, 95 premiership crew neck throwback.
I know it's so conflicting for everybody because there's a bit of Collingwood about Carlton, which is disgusting to say. And what I mean by that is that I think a lot of the general footy fans are starting to like Carlton. They're starting to like what they do. So let's say, for example, the Port Adelaide fans have a bit of like for Carlton because of the Vossie link. Vossie spent a lot of time on the coaching staff here at the Power. But then the Port Adelaide fans hated Vossie because he played for the Brisbane Lions and they were happy to win a premiership off him. So there's a lot of conflicting things, but you've been part of, you even were supporting Carlton when you were playing for the Crows by the looks of it.
Yeah, we went through a couple of issues there with a few tweets and whatnot.
But yeah, but it looks good. The supporters on the weekend were outstanding, mate. And I walked on Adelaide Oval once they got the job done against Fremantle. And the fans singing the song, it was really cool just to hear how loud it was belted out. I'm sure for you who spent the majority of your career there, it's good to see some of your ex-teammates or people that you saw coming into the club actually getting the success that they've worked so hard for. I know it's only four rounds in, but it's certainly starting to work well.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, Carlton are a big club and they do have supporters everywhere. We do know that. And at a time there when they weren't going so well, they would sort of stay home and not come. But now that they're going well and it's looking like they're going to have a strong year so far, as you said, it's only early days. But yeah, they do have supporters all around Australia and they have been coming out in their numbers in the last couple of weeks. And yeah, it was great to sit there at Adelaide Oval just as a supporter in and amongst them all and watch them grind out. It wasn't a great spectacle in terms of what we saw footy-wise in that Frio-Carlton clash. But I think that's a sign of maturity. And what they haven't been able to do in probably the last 10 years is win while they're not playing their best. And win ugly is not probably the word to say it, but just find a way to win when you're not playing your best footy and you're having some key personnel out of the team as well.
So they've got Sam Walsh still to come back and they were lucky that Paddy Cripps made his way across to Adelaide because his wife had their daughter Kona, which is wonderful, and he had to make that decision of what he was going to do. And you're a father again, congratulations, which is very exciting. That's a tough decision to make, though, isn't it? Because it was a big game for Carlton to play over here. So I feel that Paddy Cripps would have breathed a sigh of relief that Kona came into the world a bit early.
Yeah, absolutely. And we only can cast our mind back to 12 months ago and Gather Round where they came into that round with so much high expectations and the Crows just absolutely made them look silly. So I think this was the first win they've actually had at Adelaide Oval since
ever
since the
that was zip and seven
ground was open.
Yep.
So that's a nice little monkey off the back, and they can move on from that one, albeit not against an Adelaide side, either Port or Adelaide. But it was good timing, and you did mention Sam Walsh. He will play this week, given he gets through training.
The Crows fans will love that, won't
that's
they?
Just another issue for the Crows to deal with this week. Not ideal with the situation they're in, but. Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's only early days, but I think to have a successful year, you've got to bank some wins early, and they're certainly doing that.
So what are you doing with yourself? You retired from the Sandful, which was sad for everybody to see, but you were celebrated the Nucky Cup last year, which is wonderful. So you're working at the club, and then we saw at the back end of last year that you had agreed to play some football when available. So can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still working full-time. Down at South Adelaide, I've transitioned my sort of role from being part-time with the seniors as I was still playing and then half my role with the juniors. I'm full-time with the juniors now, so working really closely with Mark Clayton still, helping run a lot of their junior programs. We've had an under-14 competition come into the Sandful this year, which I've been looking after. I'll do some development squad stuff. And then working with our Centre of Excellence with our under-16. And I'm coaching the midfield for Mark Clayton's under-18. So, a lot more hands-on with the juniors, which is really, really great. I'm really enjoying. It's very rewarding and working with some elite talent, which is fantastic.
So you might play footy a little bit more south from where Panther Park is. But then let me ask you a question about south, because I was surprised so many players left the club of like the calibre. So you talk about, say, Keegan Brooksby, right? I understand where he's at in his life, but it's a big loss. Joey Haynes was the one who surprised me the most. Like, were you surprised of the calibre of talent that had decided to play elsewhere? Or, you know, you play Sandful, you've got to make a choice when your work comes into it as well. But there's a really big deficit now of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably been the last couple of years in terms of the age profile and some older, more experienced guys leaving the club, which, you know, that's what happens as you get older and you get a little bit more washed up from year to year. But, every player has their reasons for finishing up and that's fine. But yeah, it's gone from a couple of years ago being a lot of guys over 30 and looking like we're going to challenge for a long-awaited premiership that South have been starved of for so long, and which, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And now we're seeing their list profile made up of a lot more younger, inexperienced players, but I think that's exciting as well, because that's obviously provided opportunities to those guys that might not have had that in the last couple of years. And they haven't gone out and got too many recruits from interstate that they probably have over the last couple of years, and are going to try and rely on their zone players and build up from their local players that have come through the juniors and build their base back up from there, which is fantastic.
One more question on South. A couple of years ago, I watched a kid play a finals match at Adelaide Oval by the name of Jason Horne-Francis. He ended up going number one. He's just a freak. Last year at Adelaide Oval, I watched a kid play junior footy by the name Draper, the curtain. He got me as excited. So you've been drafted number one. You've been very close to Jason Horne-Francis. How exciting is this kid? I don't want you to, I know you're going to be very modest with it, but jeepers, he looks like if he handles himself the right way, prepares himself the right way, things could really work out well for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you're talking, of course, of Sid Draper, younger brother of Arlo Draper, who was picked up by Collingwood out of our program a couple of years ago, who has now come back to South to play with Sid, which is going to be pretty special for those two. So we've known about Sid for a while, coming through our junior ranks and the talent that he's had. And he's got an extremely big and hard work rate and all signs are pointing to, if he can have a good year, that, you know, the likelihood that he would get drafted. So he's dealing with a bit of an injury at the moment, which we're managing and want to get right leading into the state championships this year. So he's finding that a little bit frustrating, because all he wants to do is get out and play footy as all 18-year-olds want to do. But, he's shown some very good signs, and I'm looking forward to his progression over the year.
We love it. It's great having you in studio, Lumo Gibbsy. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA. We're powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. This morning on the show, we will chat to Mark Keane, who I reckon was the Crows' best last week in their gather-round match against the Ds. Also, Mark Milligan from Adelaide United, their final home game of the season on Friday. We get to farewell Nestori Irinkunda too, and your calls and texts 0427 154 166. It's SENSA. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
17 minutes past 6 on SENSA Breakfast. Mark Bickley out, Bryce Gibbs in this morning, and we're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA, alongside Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Still got all the regular things to dig very soon, elephant in the room. And actually, why don't we do this right now, Gibbsy, a sports update, because there's plenty of sport to talk about.
Certainly is, Walshy. And Melbourne will be without live-wire forward Kozia Pickett for its bumper clash against Brisbane after failing to overturn a one-match suspension. Fox footy journalist David Zeta was at the tribunal hearing yesterday and reported the Demons were unsuccessful in having the suspension thrown out.
Kozia Pickett's one-match ban stands. It is still medium impact. It is still a reportable offence. They find they had the potential to cause injury. A concussion or facial injury is a realistically possible outcome, and there is ultimately the medium classification stands. So Kozia Pickett, the Melbourne Football Club, they made a very lengthy case for Adrian Anderson. It's failed. He misses against the Brisbane Lions this week.
Michael Voss has revealed the speculation around Sam Walsh's health can come to an end as the star midfielder prepares to return for the Red Hot Blues. The former number one pick is expected to play his first game of the season when the undefeated Carlton take on Adelaide in the Bryce Gibbs Cup at Marvel Stadium on Saturday. Voss told SEN Sam Edmund that he's looking forward to having Walsh back in the Blues engine room.
You know, the reality is we just had to get through some milestones with him, and we're so grateful that we get to have him back. He's obviously a very important player to us. So you can understand that we obviously took our time trying to be really clear with where we needed to go with him. And I'm not sure how much patience there was for other people outside, but it's certainly a popular question I got at press conferences every single week. I can confirm he's gets through training and he'll play.
Tony Vidmar has named Keegan Jelicic and Lucas Maragas in the Oliroo squad after Nestori Irinkunda opted against accepting a call-up for the Australia's Olympic qualifiers. Irinkunda has been penciled in by Vidmar as a possible replacement for Marco Tilio, who withdrew from the under-23 Asian Cup with a quad injury. Adelaide United's teammate Stefan Mork is delighted to have Irinkunda saying with the Reds for the weekend's clash, and says there are several reasons why he may have chosen not to stay in the A-League.
The Olympics is a great platform for players to get moves overseas as well. Nesta's already got a move to Bayern Munich, so maybe his focus, to be honest, is on getting to Bayern Munich for pre-season. And
there's a lot of interest about that one, Gibbsy, because he's the most exciting talent in Australian football at the moment, but there's been a decision made for him not to be part of the squad. It's obviously not his talent, but I think there's a lot of things to take into consideration, and we can ask Mark Milligan about this. Bayern Munich might be saying, actually, no, because this could be the future of Bayern, so we need to make sure that he's healthy. It could be his professionalism off the field. We don't know any of that stuff, so it would be good to have a crack at Mark Milligan about that. Oh, hold on. There's Champions League this morning, and this is why you're a little bit distracted, because your team's playing.
Oh, I was going to bring this up with you, because I'm not an Arsenal supporter.
I know, you're a Liverpool man.
Yeah,
I was just
go.
Trying to stitch you up to see if you were going to get
like,
nervous.
Hang on, what's going on here?
I was just seeing how long it would take for you to smash me and go, Arsenal at the top of the Premier League. We want Liverpool at the top of it. It's okay. So to take you through a couple of those scores at the moment, because we are in the quarterfinals. So the team we were just talking about, Bayern Munich, are leading Arsenal 2-1 at the moment. It is approaching halftime. Actually, no. My computer froze. It's 2-2. Jeepers Walsh. So the two games are locked away at the moment. Arsenal and Bayern are 2-2 at the moment. We can play some highlights of the goals a bit later. And Real Madrid and Man City are 3-3. That's amazing.
Absolute scenes in these two games, and a couple of late goals by the looks of it too. So they're locked away. They're going to have to play a...
Well, it's only the first leg. Oh, so if they just go 2-2 and 3-2, then the second leg will be just winner takes all. So then the games tomorrow, PSG face Barcelona and Atletico Madrid play Borussia Dortmund. We will be all over that because we'll be live on air at that point. If you have anything to say about that, 0427154166. Thanks to Tyre Power. The Power Up sale is now on. It's SENSA.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes past 6, going for a top of 21 degrees today. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that is Lumo SA. Shout out to Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. The Sandful is back this weekend. You can win the ultimate Sandful Grand Final getaway playing Sandful Survivor. All thanks to Adelaide Oval for your chance to win. sensurvivor.com.au. The Sandful Show is back today. Dan Menzel will join us in the studio and we'll have a chat to Twig Rawlings, the victorious state coach. That was pretty good on the weekend. Bryce, the text line is 0427154166 before we head to the news. Dave says, morning, boys. Who is likely to come in and make a difference for the Crows now? They desperately need to win to keep their hopes alive. And statistically, the hopes aren't really there. History saying that only one team in the AFL era has been able to turn a 0-4 start around and play finals. So history against the Crows. What do they have to do, Gibbsy?
Well, it's a great question, and it's something we might dive into a little bit more a little bit later on the show. But yeah, just looking at some of the names that could come in, I think the thing that hurts them is that there wasn't a Sandful game on the weekend. They've only played one competitive game, the Sandful side. So a couple of their guys who probably would make a difference in this side are injured. If your terms of like leg speed and good kickers, which they need, I'm talking of Malira. Parnell's got a shoulder. Schomburg's still a week away. So I don't know.
Pedler was the one that confused me. I think you just need to stick with Luke Pedler. I don't know. I just don't think you need to drop him.
Unfortunately, when you're 0-4, you need to be making some changes. Yeah. You can't be doing the same, rolling out the same team, doing the same thing. So it was probably a forced change and someone had to drop out and it was him, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts, Crows fans? We will talk to Mark Keane about that at 8 o'clock this morning, 0427154166. Our dig, search before you dig online every time, byda.com.au. Bryce Gibbs is coming swinging this morning. He has a big dig that we'll get to straight after the news. And plenty of your calls. It's a wonderful Wednesday morning, 21 degrees today, and we're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes to 7. Good morning to you. We are powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Mark Bickley has been omitted today and just like the Crows that will need to make changes if they want success, we've brought in the big guns. Bryce Gibbs is here. Gibbsy, before we get into the dig, I wanted to ask you about this. Speaking of omissions, having a look at what the Gold Coast Suns have been doing under Damien Hardwick. So, been interesting, and I've been keeping a close eye on it. So, he gets to the Suns, and he says to Mabiel Chol, who he flicked, he said, you know what, you're out. See you later. So, he's ended up at the Hawks, and he's been pretty good. But then there's players like Brandon Ellis, who played in a couple of flags. There's Alex Sexton. There's Levi Casbolt, the former Blue, and Ben Long and the Rat Rory Atkins, who got an incredible opportunity to go up there. They've all been through the selection process of being omitted. And from all reports, will take a bit of time to come back into the team because Damien Hardwick needs to look at that list. What do you make of that? Do you think this is what happens if you need success? The coach needs to have a look at every player and I guess change a few things that haven't been working for the likes of the previous coach, Stewie Jew?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you need to assess where your list's at. And you've got to sort of just piece it. What does our premiership team look like? What does our next premiership side need in terms of personnel, in terms of positional changes? And in our on our current list, what are those? Who are those players are going to be there? So whether it's a two-year, they think they can win one in 2 years, whether they think they can win one in 5 years, whatever it may be, and the guys that they can't probably see playing in that premiership, those are the guys that unfortunately make way to try these other guys that are on their list to see if they're capable of being in that next premiership side. And if they're not up to it, then you go out and you go to the draft or you go to the trade table, the mid-season draft, whatever it may be, to continually add those pieces that you're chasing to build that premiership side.
So I'm glad you said that, because then I bring that back to Adelaide, and I felt that they were in a position halfway through last season where Nixie was probably making some of those decisions, but then you couldn't not pick Matt Crouch. And now Matt Crouch is continually in the side because he's been performing well. But it's shown that the midfield, sometimes it's working, sometimes it's not. So a lot of the Crows fans are having questions asked about some of those players. You know, will that determine what happens with Rory Sloane when he comes back? If he comes back this year, if he's ready to go, do they look and go? Is he part of the next premiership time? They've got a lot of questions that they need asked. The fans aren't happy.
Yeah, they certainly do it. And I'm happy to go into this now. I think the Crows have been too reliant on their senior players. And we saw that last year when Tex was having an All-Australian year, Dawson was playing unbelievable footy, Rory Laird was, you know, having 35 touches, getting a heap of clearances in the middle, Brody Smith was giving him a lot of drive off half-back. When all those guys were playing well, everyone was playing well. Everyone was getting a lick of the ice cream. Everyone was looking fast. Everyone was looking sharp. Everyone was kicking the ball well. We've seen this year, those older guys, the guys that are north of 30, those guys that I just mentioned, Tex, Brody Smith, Rory Laird, Dawson, the captain, have been out of form. Mm. So who are the next crop when your more experienced players aren't performing? You got to rely on another crop to play good footy, so that if a Tex has got a sore back for a couple of weeks, that he can still play and contribute, but he doesn't have to be best on kick five for you to win the game. I've been disappointed in that next crop that have been around for 5-6 years that haven't taken their game to another level.
So the Fogarty's the one with that, with the Tex point, isn't it? Because he kicked an incredible goal against the D's last week, but you don't just want the one goal. You need consistent performances. And I'm assuming that the Crows fans and Matthew Nix wouldn't have wanted to be in a position where they need Tex to kick 70 goals for the Crows to be successful. They need him to kick 30 and Fogarty kick 60.
Yeah, absolutely. And Fog's not the only one. There's a whole lot of players in that bracket. And you only have to sort of go back and look at their first round picks from the last 4 or 5 years, and there's some gaping holes there. You need to get that right. You need to get that first pick right into your footy club. And you're talking guys like Jordan Gallucci, who's no longer at the club. Fog, we've mentioned. Chase Jones, he took him a long time to find himself in the team. And yes, he is in the side now and playing okay, but can he should be taking his game to another level. Ned McHenry's been in and out of the side. Fisher McAsee, he's no longer at the club. We know Riley Thilthorpe's going to be a star. He just hasn't quite been able to get his body right. Luke Pedler, we mentioned before. Is he going to be good enough? Will he be a part of their next premiership side? He finds his way out of the side at the moment. Josh Rochelli's still young, but I think we expect a bit more from him when the side's not quite going well. Isaac Rankin, and we don't know about Daniel Curtin yet. He hasn't played. Max Michelini looked like he's going to be all right as well. So those names there, a lot of those have been misses, haven't they?
Yep.
And they're the guys that those picks should be taking the club to the finals. They've spoken a lot about finals off the back of last year's campaign, and some even internally have been talking top four for this year. So we know that's out of the window. That's been a shock to the system for everyone looking from a supporter's point of view, a member's point of view, as the club was selling all this high expectation. Yeah, I'm worried that What are they? What path do they go down now? Like, they need to start playing Elliot Himmelbergs maybe at centre half back to see if he can do it. Will Hamill, Billy Dowling hasn't had an opportunity yet. You need to play some of these guys now while they're 0-4. Finals is unlikely, so they need to give some guys a go and work out whether they're going to be part of this next premiership side, which is hard because that's what they've been telling everyone they've been doing for the last couple of years.
Exactly. And the challenge is, as we said, there was no Sandfall on the weekend apart from the state game where no Crows players played. So if they need to make a couple of forced changes through injury. But apart from that, if you're going to bring someone like Pedler back into the side, you are literally going by exposed training form as opposed to seeing him in a competitive match. Or if you're going to bring Billy Dowling in, that's going by the game he played against South, which he was okay. But is that enough to go, he's actually going to come in? Because, yes, you're zipping four, but the season isn't gone yet. Zipping five might be a completely different story. So, Crows fans, what do you think? 0427154166. What changes would you make? Let's get into our dig.
I feel like you're trying to get a controversial statement out of me, but you're not getting that out of me. It sucks.
Search before you dig online every time, byda.com.au. Gibbs, you want to have a dig this morning?
I'm going to have a little dig at myself just before I get into my main dig, and that's to my body clock, Walshy. Yes. Obviously, filling in for Mark Bickley this morning and setting the alarm, the nice early alarm to get up for breakfast radio this morning. I had the worst sleep.
Mm.
Getting up literally every 20 minutes and thinking I've missed my alarm, checking the time.
That's horrific.
My body clock. Give me a spell.
It never gets better or easier.
Horrible.
But then, like, there are some people that are comfortable with arriving a little bit late or sleeping in. You're not that person. Mark Bickley, who's out being managed today, he is someone that doesn't mind rocking up late and just phoning it in. But we are professionals, so we've sent a bit of a warning here. Mark Bickley could be real Luke Pedler style, and he's out for today. Who knows about tomorrow? What's the other dig you wanted to have at?
I want to have a dig at all the Victorians, and you can throw Chris Scott in this boat as well, about Gather Round and about the Crows and Port having an extra game in Adelaide.
Mm.
Obviously, Gather Round's been put in as an extra fixture, and they're whinging and saying, well, the Crows and Port shouldn't have an extra home game throughout the season. They should actually play the showdown in Gather Round.
Let's have a listen to Lee Matthews, who is saying exactly what you spoke about.
The two Adelaide teams can't continue to get an extra home state game just because it's Gather Round. And because, we already want the two showdowns. Well, that's great. If you want Gather Round, one of the showdowns should be part of Gather Round, because I tell you what, the other 16 clubs in the competition, they don't mind going, they'll accept going to get the Gather Round, but they're not going to accept that continually that Port and Crows get an extra home.
I found that weird as well that Lee said that, because the Crows lost their home game. So the advantage wasn't that strong, was it?
Well, let's throw Lee Matthews in there as well. What does he care? That doesn't affect him in the slightest. He's on the Brisbane board, he's got nothing to do with it. He's just stirring the pot. We understand that. But, come on. All these Victorian clubs that play well over half their games in Melbourne, and a sookin that Adelaide and the Power get an extra home game turned up.
And I saw that there was a little bit of a loophole that Geelong might have this year, but Geelong might be in a position where if they earn a home final in Victoria, they get to play at GMHBA Stadium and they don't have to go to the MCG anymore. So there's inequality and there's no equal in the AFL whatsoever.
I don't reckon Chris Scott will be complaining if they get that over
the line, will they? Exactly. Yeah. Search before you dig. Lodge a free inquiry online. Don't dig blind. Our number 0427154166. We're in Studio Lumo, powered by Lumo Energy SA. We're going to delve straight into the Markives next. Now, Gibbsy, you don't really know much about the Markives, but I go back and have a look at some old vision of Mark Bickley, but he's not here today, so I might surprise you with something, okay?
Here we go.
We'll do it next on SEN.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
11 minutes to 7. Good morning to you. Our text line is 0427154166. We're powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. Bryce Gibbs in for Mark Bickley this morning. And Gibbsy, a few texts coming in.
Certainly is. Michael off the text line. Jared, what are you on about? The Crows didn't lose a home game.
Well, they lost to Melbourne, didn't they, on Thursday night. So what I'm suggesting is that if Lee Matthews is saying Port Adelaide and Adelaide get an extra home game because of Gather Round, then that's technically at their home ground. So they lost that one. But thank you for your text, Michael. There's also Alex from Glam who... I need to bring you up to speed on what's going on with Alex from Glam. So what does he say this morning?
I'm looking at the wrong one here.
That's fine. He says, the elephant in the room can stop now. Bix finally came into Glam Nutrition yesterday after such a long time. The world has found its balance. Great to catch up with him, and you'll never walk alone, Gibbsy. So there's a place in Grange called Glam Nutrition, which has wonderful, healthy smoothies and juices. Alex has been a supporter from day one. So Alex was even like day one when you and I doing SENSA breakfast last year. Bix every week has said he would go and visit. And he's a compulsive liar, Mark Bickley, because he didn't go in and visit. Yesterday, what appears to be an appearance that Bix had, he was wearing his Crows polo shirt, so maybe it was a sponsored appearance, I don't know. But I think the photo is photoshopped and Mark Bickley didn't go in to Glam Nutrition yesterday.
The old reverse debut.
I think it is, exactly. One of my favourite podcasts to listen to before we get into the archives is Dylan Friends, Dylan Buckley. Do you play with Dylan Buckley?
I certainly did play with Dylan Buckley.
He's doing amazing things at the moment. What was he like as a person when you were with him at the football club? Are you surprised with his growth externally, or is this something you saw with him as when you were a teammate?
I think we saw it in spurts, absolutely, and maybe because... he was a bit younger when he was at Carlton and maybe didn't feel as comfortable to express his personality. That's why we only saw it in little bits and pieces. But he's going very well, isn't he?
He is. He spoke to Nat Fyfe on his Dylan Friends podcast, and we're going to try and get Dylan on over the next week because he's an ambassador for LIV Golf, funnily enough. Nat Fyfe is a player that not many people hear from a lot. He's quite reserved. He's quiet. But when he speaks, he has impact. And there was a few things from what Nat said on this podcast I wanted to play for you. So the first one is in regards to how he viewed success after winning his first Brownlow medal.
I won the first Brownlow and I had 3 months of just euphoria. Just everything made sense to me. All the decisions I'd made in my life up until that point were perfect, exactly as they should have been, because they revealed this space of bliss for me. The problem with that was I wanted it again, and as sort of 16, 17, 18 took off, I was just searching for that feeling again, and I knew a premiership or potentially another Brownlow would be able to unlock that. And I got there again, and it just felt so different. It was nice and lovely, but it just was not the same feeling as it was previously. And that kind of shook me to pieces a bit, because I thought, all right, I've been hunting for this feeling. I've got to the place that I thought was going to give me that. It hasn't. Now where do I go? And they sort of say that success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I didn't feel like I'd fail, but I just felt like I needed to look elsewhere.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question on the back of each one of these. I love him saying that because it's the search for success. You get to that place and then it may not feel the same. Did you ever experience that as a footballer where wins may not feel the same, or you've reached the top level, you play 100, 200 games and you go, oh, wow, I'm supposed to feel like this, but maybe I don't?
Not really. I mean, for a lot of my career, we were always just searching for a win. we actually didn't have, over my career, I would have certainly lost a lot more games than I had won.
Yeah.
So I was more just enjoying a win from week to week. That was probably the thing I enjoyed most. But listening to that, and he mentioned like the second time round, you know, chasing that feeling. And he mentioned premiership, but he mentioned another Brownlow a lot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, did that come across a little bit about me, about Nat Fyfe? How can
100%
a bit more selfish? How can?
Yeah, and it was really eye opening because I feel that he was really honest, saying all he was focused on was himself and personal glory. And then he spoke about a journey to where he's at now, which kind of led to his body kind of giving up on him and him having to realize that he can't match it with, you know, the likes of Caleb Sarong and Andy Brayshaw.
And so I thought I was like getting close to being invincible. Nothing bothers me. Anything, any adversity, any struggle, any pain, I can just deal with that. No worries. But got to a point in my life where, as you're saying, the opposite starts happening, where your body starts attacking itself. It's got all of these threat response mechanisms built in, which I've got no control over. I can do as many like mantras or like pump up talks or whatever I need to do, and my body's still going, no way, mate, we are not going there.
So that's a feeling where no matter how well you think you're going and the metrics are saying you're performing where you need to, your body's going, well, no, mate, this is not going to work like that. Is that something consistent with a lot of footballers when they get to that part of their career?
Oh, no doubt. It's just called getting old. Like, your body can only do and perform it at the highest level for a certain amount of time, albeit there are some exceptions. You look at LeBron James and his longevity and what he's been able to do at, you know, 40, which is, you know, there's not many that can do that. But yeah, for the most part of it, your body allows you to do something for a certain period of time. And someone like Nat Fyfe, who has been very good for a very long time and just expects that it'll roll on, coming to the realization that that's going to stop at some stage, it certainly is hard to deal with.
This is the thing I loved about what he said when he was talking about some of his favourite teammates.
I mean, there's the superstars,
yeah,
and you can probably imagine what I would say about those guys.
Yeah.
But then there's players like Mzungu, Subin, De Boer, Chris Main, Mick Barlow, guys that just heart and soul and just wring every single ounce out of their opportunity that they can. And they're the guys that you just love going to work with during the week and on the weekend, is because they just have no room for someone telling them they're not good enough to be there. And you just love playing and being alongside those people because they're optimistic, they're positive, they're willing to do anything they can for the team at the detriment of themselves. And those characteristics lead on to the sort of humans they are outside of footy and in their life.
How important, Bryce Gibbs, are players like that to a football club? And do any names jump out of players that you played with at Carlton or Adelaide that were those guys that got everything out of their career? They may not have been in the best players every week. They may not have been high profile, high paid, but you needed them to actually help motivate you because of what they got out of themselves.
Oh, it's crucial to have those guys in your team. And there's no doubt Nat would have mentioned those guys specifically because they would have helped him win those Brownlows and have that success as a player. I mean, I think he mentioned Reece Conker in his Brownlow speech because he was playing a bit like that Dusty Martin role. He'd be in the centre bounce. He'd be able to just run forward. He wouldn't have to worry about his opponent because Reece Conker was coming up from half forward to specifically take his opponent to allow him to get dangerous, which was playing to his strengths. Reece Conker was happy to do the role for the team because it got him a game every week, and he obviously enjoyed being a part of the winning environment as well. So it was a win-win for everyone. So there's no surprise that he would mention those guys because, again, it helped him perform and play to the best of his ability.
Someone like Mitch Robinson, who was at Carlton and then went to Brisbane and really got everything out of his career, would he be along that kind of same path too? Because he just did absolutely everything he could.
Yeah, it was probably a bit of a slow burn with Mitch. He probably learned a few lessons early in his career and made a few mistakes both on and off the field and probably had to get the balance right. But I think he matured a bit. He became a father and he sort of settled down a little bit. And, yeah, no doubt towards, the back end of his career, he was then started making leadership groups and that just would, you know, validate from where he came, from where he started to where he finished. But, yeah, I've been involved with a lot of players that just would always be in the rehab room, would always be doing the right thing recovery-wise and getting themselves up week to week to... And it's funny, it's more the guys that, you know, are start on a rookie list and have to scratch and earn. Ed Curnow is probably the best I've seen in terms of not gifted talent-wise as a lot of players that I've played with, and he's the first to admit that. But the way he trains, the standards he set for himself, the little things he does away from the field, gets him a 200-game player and one of the greats at Carlton.
It's a Dill and Friends podcast if you want to listen to that full interview. As we said, we'll try and get Dill on over the next couple of weeks to talk about LIV Golf 2. Tyre Power's Power Up sale is on right now, and we are in Studio Lumo. On the other side of the news, it is the Markives, and of course, elephant in the room. Oh, there it is. We'll do it next on SENSA.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power Power Up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past seven, going forward, 21 degrees today. Thank you for listening. We are still recovering from Gather Round. Studio Lumo is where we are at. Our elephant in the room in a moment, thanks to the Hotel Grand Chancellor Adelaide's exclusive SEN package. Bryce Gibbs in for Mark Bickley. How many games of Gather Round did you actually go to, Gibbsy, whether it was for work or for fun?
Two for pleasure, two for work.
Did you like looking at all of the fans walking around in all of their Guernseys? Bix has this issue with grown men wearing sports tops, which I'm obviously a big supporter of. I love sports tops. What are your thoughts on that?
Do I see you repping a... I don't know if it was a Guernsey or some sort of suit or T-shirt with all colours. And did I get that right?
That was uncomfortable.
So you've taken it to the next level. And
that
gone.
Was a party shirt which had every team's logo
you've had
on it.
16 colours on it, or 18 colours on it at once.
Yeah, I didn't like it. No. I won't.
That was forced upon you.
Yeah,
that
I won't be.
You didn't
that.
Volunteer to get around in that. Okay.
No, but some of the merch was really good. Like the beanies were really nice because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm bald and I get a cold head at night.
Really appreciate a good beanie.
Yeah, I love a good beanie. So I think I'm a big merch guy. So the merch was really good. The Gather Around footy this year was better than last year. So I'm going to try and get my hands on one of those official Sharons, but there's probably one still floating in the Torrens. I don't know if you know this, but we did the Torp the Torrens. So $2,000 if you hit the particular thing in the Torrens. They were kicking real Sharons in there. $250 a Sharon was worth, and they're just going, chuck it in there. I wanted to just pocket one. Don't get Torrens water on it.
Just out in your tinny, floating around, just picking up.
Oh, man. Did you like, when you were Sharons. Playing, did you like the brand new Sharon, or you see when, say, Jezza Cameron gets a foot in, he's lining up for goal, he would just push it in out of routine. Some of them like the kicked-in Sharons. What did you like?
Yeah, they don't kick them in before games, do they? They just literally rip them out of the bag, put them behind the goals after pumping them up, and away you go. I mean, majority of them are fine and are good, but, yeah, you do get the odd outlier that hasn't quite shaped up well and is a bit pointy, and you do... I think it does affect your kicking. There's
well, that's
no
what I found
it.
Was weird. Like when the AFL teams go through their warm-ups, they're using all the club allocated footballs. Yeah. Why couldn't they just have all of the game balls out there plus a couple more? So you're actually kicking them in during your warm-ups.
And that is a great question. I actually don't know the reason why. I'm sure there is a reason why they do that, but it is strange. You would think at least get, you know, 50, 100 kicks into the ball before the game starts, but they opt not to do that.
I liked seeing the Sharon in the state game, the fact that we're using Sharons now. See you later, Burley. Sharon's part of the sample
There's
now.
There's Sharons everywhere now, and I am going to have a kick this year down in the Great Southern League, and they've upgraded to Sharon this year, I'm pretty happy about it.
Yes, very good. All right, before we get into Elephant in the Room.
The Markives on SENSA Breakfast.
Okay, so I'm obsessed with Mark Bickley, and I like to look back at some of his earlier media performances because Bix was obviously the two-time premiership captain. He played in the night premiership for the Crows. He didn't play with Kyle Fettuccini in AFLX at Cooper Stadium. He wasn't part of that. He was assistant coach. He was fill-in coach. Then he went to read the news on Channel 9. Didn't last too long because he can't read. He was on the Sunday Footy Show. So Bix has had a really good history in the media. So I like to find stuff. And whether it's from his playing days, his coaching days, his media days. But Mark Bickley's not here today. He's out. Rested. Make of that whatever you will, AFL. All right. He's managed this week. He's got a hamstring.
Or cashy.
Knowing Bix, it's a cashy. So I found something of you.
Here we go. This will be good.
How would you rate yourself as a media performer when you were thrown into the spotlight as a young kid?
Not great early. I don't think anyone is, are they, when you get thrown in the deep end without much practice?
Totally agree with you. I think players are better now, and it blows me away how prepared these kids are now. But I did find something, and I need to give credit to the show. It was before the game or after the game, one of those games that Hughesy was on with Andy Marr, our very own, and Fitzy and Sam Lane, and they had you on. And they wanted to see how many football cliches you threw out in one press conference, and here it is.
Oh, you know, that's been our aim since the pre-season. You know, we're in the mix at the moment. Still a long, long way to go, and anything can happen. You know, the competition's that even. Anybody can win on any given day. So, you know, like I said, the old cliche, we'll take it one week at a time, and yeah, hopefully we're there come September.
It's a fair few.
I was going for the Guinness World Record, actually, of how many cliches you can have in one press conference. But, yeah, I don't know. That's just the default line that I would go back to.
Well, this brings me into elephant in the room. I need to talk about the default line and how the media works and how it impacts the player. So let's do this.
Elephant in the room on SENSA Breakfast.
Big shout out to Hotel Grand Chancellor, their exclusive SEN deal with free parking and $50 dining voucher. Book at Hotel Grand Chancellor Adelaide. Yesterday, Gibbsy, we played a bit of audio from the Truth Hurts podcast, which is Wayne Carey has a podcast now where he famously was talking about the AFL and he used this line.
Weak as piss.
He's there with Tony Sheehan, who is the son of Mike Sheehan. Now, Tony Sheehan dropped this.
Richmond is in a tug of war about keeping Dusty in a Richmond jumper until he can make 300 games. As I said, he's played 292 as of yesterday. He's told friends and family that he can't do it anymore. He wants to walk away. He's fed up. Can't deal with it. But Richmond, as I said, is grappling with the fact that he could walk away. And they're saying, you will regret this for the rest of your life if you don't play 300 games. Just get to 300 and then we'll work out then what you want to do for the length of your contract and all the rest of this year.
Since then, Dusty's manager, Ralph Carr, come out and said, no, that's crap. That's absolute lies. We've also been hearing about Will Haywood, South Australian, that he's in conversations with the Crows and then other clubs are circling. The elephant in the room, which I'm glad you're here today to talk about this, Bryce, as a player, how do you actually deal with that? Because if you say nothing, the media talks. If you say something, then you get a soundbite and the landscape may change later on that year and then people call you a liar. You've experienced player movement going from Carlton to Adelaide, and I'm sure it's frustrating as a player where you literally can't say anything to keep everybody happy in regards to your future.
It's a great conversation, great topic, isn't it? And yeah, the Dusty Martin stuff has come out, and yeah, there might be an element of that. He's, well, we all know he's getting closer to the end of his career than he is at the start of his career. So that's just fact. But to think that he would walk away with only about 8 games to go until he gets to 300, that doesn't make sense to anyone. I wouldn't have thought. But it might be, he might be alluding to, he might be finished at the end of the year, say. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot that goes into it and there are a lot of elements that there's a lot of ways these things come about. Everyone has different circumstances and situations from personnel to personnel where people are in their career in terms of, are they a free agent? Are they out of contract? Are they getting opportunity? Are they chasing a bigger pay packet? There are a lot of factors that do come into it, Walshy. So
you can use your agent as well strategically, can't you?
Yes.
Where you could, your agent could manufacture a story or speak to the media to say, hey, can you just chuck this out here, knowing that it might generate a conversation or help you get more money or help you get a better deal?
There's no doubt that that has happened before,
yeah,
and that will continue to happen. I don't think, personally, that was never happened in my situation.
Yep.
But yeah, there are some crafty ways that managers can, you know, feed some lines to some media outlets, and I'll run with this or don't run with that, whatever it may be, to generate a bit of interest. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So when the rumours do probably start happening about player movement and are they happy where they are they looking elsewhere? Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle, right? It's not all one way and it's not all the other. So, yeah, there's usually conversations between... I mean, the list managers are always having conversations with player agents. That's probably their first point of call. You know, are they happy where they are? Are they looking to move? Opportunity-wise, as I've already spoken about, there might be some dialogue between list manager to list manager, and you can orchestrate some sort of trade there. And then these conversations are happening all the time. And in my situation, it was actually a drop into your DMs type message. I had a relationship.
Slide into
your DMs or text message. Yeah. I was Justin Reid, who was formerly at my player agent.
Yep. He was at ESP, which is TLA
ESP,
now, whatever.
TLA. Yeah. So yeah. I had a relationship with him previous to that, and he had been a part of my management group. So that's how that conversation started, off the back of just maybe it was, or actually it probably was strategic by him to say, oh, how are you traveling? Oh,
plant the seed.
Would you consider this potentially in the future? So there's all different ways to go about it. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, you did.
I was talking a little bit around circles, but
you absolutely answered it. I think it's a good insight, because you've got to then question trust, who you'd speak to, how it gets out. But then if something gets out which isn't true, then you question trust of everybody. So it's a really challenging time. We're only five games into the season, really. So, and we're talking about what happens next year and potentially with players. So I think the consumers, the media, the fans are just craving information constantly, and sometimes love it even if it's not factually correct. They just like stuff to talk about.
And especially for Crow supporters, their 0-4 finals is looking like it's very, very unlikely to happen this year. So they're seeking what's next.
Yep.
Okay, how do we? Who can we get in to help us get back to another premiership? What changes can we make? So that's why these speculations happen. That's why players' names get thrown up, because they see who's a free agent, who's from South Australia, who they could get back, who's in a good age demographic to help them get back up the ladder.
7:15 on SENSA Breakfast. We are in Studio Lumo. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power up sale is now on, with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
7:19 on SENSA. We're going to focus on the World Game after 7:30. Mark Milligan from Adelaide United as they prepare to take on MacArthur. Their final home game of the season on Friday. It's a farewell for Nestori Irinkunda, who is preparing to head overseas to play for Bayern Munich. The Matildas have a game today as well, so make sure you keep it on SEN. We'll give you all of those scores. Bryce Gibbs, who is here for Mark Bickley today, Champions League quarterfinals, first leg today. What are those scores?
Two games overnight or early this morning. Arsenal had a draw with Bayern Munich, couple of late goals there, and Real Madrid also had a 3-3 draw with Manchester City. So both legs will be very interesting next week.
Let's have a listen to some of those goals from Real Madrid and Man City.
Standing behind the white wall. Bernardo Silva. Oh, he's caught Lunin out. Dani Carvajal. Camavinga shimmies away from Grealish. Big deflection. Real Madrid level. It was billed as a game that was always going to be wide open. It is every bit of that. Here's Vinicius Junior bearing down. That one's been Ortega. It's Rodrigo to score another.
Now, you'd be having a look at the Premier League table, speaking of the World Game, and your team, Liverpool, jeepers, mate. They're equal. Arsenal just looking down, but Liverpool are getting very close. You're nervous. There's only a handful of games left.
Yeah, there is. I think there's 6 or 7 games left in the campaign, and it's going to be a great finish. All teams have got their, well, it's all in their own hands, isn't it? So can they hold on? I think Arsenal have probably got the hardest draw.
They do.
In the run home.
They've got Aston Villa coming up.
They play the United and they play the Spurs. So, but yeah, I mean, City have been there. They've done it before. They know what to do when it gets in this situation. So it's going to be a fascinating finish to the Premier League.
Liverpool have Crystal Palace and Fulham coming up. So winnable games. Your thoughts on the World Game, 0427154166. Are you going to Cooper Stadium on Friday night to check out Nestori Irinkunda and Adelaide United? Final still within reach. We'll chat to Mark Milligan in the next few moments.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes past 7. Mark Bickley out. Bryce Gibbs in today in Studio Lumo. Gorgeous morning too. 21 degrees. Our text line 0427154166. Your nominations for What's Ace will be coming in soon. Ace at transport.au. Don't just send it, ace it. Few early nominations, Gibbsy. First one was from Mick the Vic in Adelaide. Shout out to George for hosting them in the Barossa over the weekend. Hung out for a while. Had an amazing time for Gather Round, which is wonderful. And Costa saying, Bryce, my son Harry, who's 10, came down to watch a juniors game with his mum a couple of weeks ago. You took time to talk to him about the Crows. Gave him a signed ball, which he loved. So well done, mate. He loved it. That's ace. Great nomination. Costa as well.
Thanks, Costa. And thanks to Harry. Enjoyed that chat last week. And speaking of the Barossa, Gather Round, getting a game down there next year.
That's going to be good.
It's Lindock.
It's dangerous. I mean, Uber will be getting a good workout, I think, and a lot of the Uber drivers will be loving it. But I think that's wonderful. I'll talk to Menz about it on the Sample Show a bit later. When it comes to Gather Round, I think the ideal scenario is having one Sandful ground. So the parade had their turn this year and last year. Awesome. Glenelg could be good only if they make it a real festival atmosphere, shut down Jetty Road if they need to and do similar to the Food and Wine Festival. But then having a Mount Barker or a Lindock would be really good. Mount Barker was amazing this year, especially. Last year it was pouring with rain. But what do you think? Do you think at least one Sandful ground should have one of the games?
I do like the idea of it. Giving all Sandful clubs an opportunity to host. Yeah, absolutely. The AFL are good at getting grounds up to speed if they need a bit of maintenance or, you know, a bit of work on the oval to have it in pristine condition to host. So, yeah, I'd like to see it shared around.
What about Mark Bickley suggested to the Premier that we should have a game on Kangaroo Island?
Ooh, interesting.
We have two sea links. So how are we going to train? Like, this is the reason why we gave Bix the day off today, because he's quite fatigued, I think. But it could work.
Maybe.
Helicopter?
That's where how I'd be getting over there.
Yeah.
Call the chopper.
Because sometimes the sea link, you get a little bit seasick if the weather's not that
good. Not for everyone, is it?
Mark Milligan from Adelaide United joins us next and not too far away. Mark Keane from the Crows. Good morning. 27 minutes to 8 on this Wednesday, the 10th of April. Still gather round fatigue here in Studio Lumo. Bryce Gibbs is here. Mark Bickley has just taken the day off, which is absolutely fine. He's a little bit fatigued as well. You know what? It continues, though, because the footy's back this weekend, not only with the AFL Saturday night, it's Port Adelaide and Freo. Can't wait for Cooper Stadium, though, Gibbsy. It's the last Adelaide United men's home game of the year. Preparing to take on MacArthur. Now, this is going to be a must-win game. Every game is a must-win game. The Reds are in good form at the moment after stealing the points from Perth. But it's not only a farewell game for our home season, but also for Nestori Irinkunda. What we thought we'd do is get on one of our assistant coaches who's been absolutely outstanding during his time at the club, Mark Milley. Good morning to you, Millsy. It's a bit of a bittersweet night on Friday because we say see you later to home games. Yes, see you later, Nestori, but I'm not ready for the season to end.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. No, neither am I, to be totally honest. And look, the last few weeks have been good and, you know, we just need to make sure that we, first and foremost, have a big performance on Friday night, as you say, for the fans who this year, which has been ultimately overall probably a little bit tough, have been fantastic as always. And as you mentioned, Nestor's final game before he heads off to Bayern.
So how important is it to finish off at home with a good win? Obviously, the supporters of the Reds are fantastic. What do they mean to the team? And as I said, it'd be nice to go out on a high for them.
Yeah, as I said, you know, obviously we've fallen a little bit short on our own expectations this season, and you know they're constantly there. They're the constant at the club, and you know I know there's a lot of clubs around the world that you know wouldn't continue to get the support that we have, and you know the last few weeks, as I said, for us have been very good, and we still hold hope of pushing into those finals come the end of the year, but it's very, very much one game at a time. So even more important that the fans are there in good numbers for our fixture on Friday night.
All right, Millsy, let's talk about Nesta because we need to get it out of the way. Now, he's been really open and honest over the past 24 hours, which I love. I saw on television last night, he acknowledged that there's maybe been an internal focus on Bayern, which distracted him a little bit. I wanted to ask you about the Oli ruse with Tony Vidmar. I probably am going to go against what a lot of people are saying. I think it's a really courageous thing for Vidi not to select him because I think there's a lot of stuff that we don't hear or see which could contribute to that non-selection, whether it's input from Bayern Munich, whether it's off-field preparation. I feel the decision is something that Nestori might come back in a few years' time and be grateful for, as opposed to the outrage around the country. What's your view on it, and how important is it that he gets the best support that he can for the next 10, 15 years he's playing professional football, as opposed to getting in an Oli Roos squad?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, the decision originally was made that, you know, it was in his best interest that he wasn't a part of that squad. And I think if that decision is made and it's genuine and it's based on Nesta's best interest, then, you know, it's hard for me to look at the backflip, whether injuries or not, on recalling him. So I think, you know, it's the right decision for him at the time. As it was when Tony first made that decision. Mm. You know, it's a lot, and he has had a lot on his shoulders this year. And, you know, we do our very best, and there's probably areas where, if I'm totally honest, we fell a little bit short in dealing with it because it's sort of new territory, well, for me, definitely, dealing with this kind of a player, with this kind of a future so early on. So I think this year has been a bit of a learning experience for everyone, you know, no more so than Nesta. And I think that's why it was so important that he did that here after he signed. You know, I think it could have been a lot more difficult had he gone to an environment that he wasn't, you know, so comfortable and familiar with in terms of being loaned out from Bayern. So I think that's very important that he had this year of learning and he had the experiences that he did. And, you know, I think in the short term, more so in the long term, not so much a short term, you know, this decision right now will definitely help shape him moving forward in terms of national team.
So one more on that really quickly. Did you play alongside Daniel Arzani in the World Cup?
Yes, I did in 2018 in Russia. And, you know, Daniel was obviously another one. And, you know, he's a fantastic player. And, you know, he had opportunities overseas. And, you know, for whatever reasons, they didn't work out. But when he first came into the international setup, you know, it was very much a different team, I guess. And the old ones, we took a little bit of a different approach with Daniel. And, you know, he was a very confident young man and a fantastic player. And, you know, it took us a little bit to be able to get the most out of him in that environment. So it is very much, look, I'm all for Nesta and playing in the national team and things like that. But when the original decision is made that it's in his best interest not to go, I can't see how then we can turn around and say, well, how can Nesta decide not to go?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the reason I ask about Arzani is because he's probably the most recent example that I can see of someone of incredible talent that needed to be managed the right way to make sure that this overseas move for Nesta is absolutely massive. But if it's not done the right way, we've seen footballers lost to the system and come back and find themselves bouncing around the league. So we appreciate your honesty with that one. We want to keep talking about the Reds, though. It has been a disappointing season to where we're at with the potential that we could have reached, but the season is still salvageable where the next couple of games could really jump us into the six and anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this last few weeks has, you know, been the result of continued hard work. Look, we knew to a degree that, you know, things would be a little bit tougher this year in comparison to previous years.
just in terms of young players coming through, player turnover, you know, things like that. But we want to make sure that we maintain that competitive nature that, that we have. And as I said, obviously we were, you know, we were never happy with the way that things were going, but we knew that if we continue to work with the, you know, especially the young ones and the old ones as well, because they have a big responsibility in terms of leading and guiding these players, you know, as we do. So we knew if we sort of stuck to it, it was going to be very, very important that, you know, we finish regardless of season well. You don't want, you know, these things or this, you know, this mid-season form bleeding into the end of the year and then early next year. So, look, it's a credit to the players. You know, it's not easy to stick to it and, you know, to continue working and to continue doing what we're asking of them. But, you know, we were always, we always sort of knew that in the long term, you know, it would put them in a better place moving forward.
So tell us about MacArthur. They got the better of us in the December fixture, 1-1 draw mid-January. What have you taken out of those games against them, and where is it going to be won and lost on Friday?
Yeah, look, obviously they're discussions that we've had and probably not taking too much from that. I think that was about round 12, round 13. You know, I think we're in a different place. Yeah, they're a very good side. Obviously, they've got some fantastic players. They've done quite well this season. I think Uri Davila, who's very, very important for them, is out this weekend. And then, obviously, they've lost young Jake Holman to the Oli Roos as well. So, look, I think we're in a good place, and I think it's not a bad matchup, you know, for us at this time of year and in the current form that we're in.
Millsy, the fans have been incredible no matter what is happening with the team. We've had some really good wins at home. We've had some disappointing losses. And this is an opportunity for everybody to come out on Friday night and pack out Cooper Stadium. How impressed have you been with the fans? Red Army celebrating their 20th anniversary alongside the club. I feel they've been the loudest that I've heard in my time at the football club.
Mate, in all honesty, they are fantastic. And, you know, I know it's very easy for me to sit on the other end of the line and say that, but, you know, as I said, I've been around, I've played in a lot of places around the world, and, you know, the support, especially this year, and especially I find with Australian fans, if you're not doing so well, then they might be that little bit quieter. They might not quite show up, and they have, you know, week after week shown up for us. And I've said it many times this year, I think, don't underestimate how very important them coming out in their numbers and supporting the players as they do is for the players, because it's something that after every home game that I hear spoken about within the change room, out on the field, you know, how impressive they were, how much they mean to us. So I don't want anyone to take anything for granted. And, you know, it's very easy for us again to rev this game up, but it is so, so important, not just in the context of, you know, Adelaide United, but, you know, this season as well. And I think Nesta's given a lot to these fans at such a young age, and, you know, I think he'll put on a special show for them to say goodbye and thank you as well.
We hope so. It's been a challenging year, a lot of it out of our control, and that's just the, I guess, the environment of football with player movement and things like that. You've been outstanding and so honest with us. Mark Milligan, good luck on Friday night, and thanks for your time on SEN, as always.
Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you.
He's an amazing guy, Gibbsy, Mark Milligan. And if you think of it, this is a former captain of the Socceroos that we have at Adelaide United. So if you're just tuning in, this is how the whole Nestori Aaron Kunda timeline has occurred with Tony Vidmar's Oli Roos squad. He wasn't selected in the initial squad for the qualifiers for Paris. And then Marco Tilio is injured and they go back to Nestori and go, hey, bro, did you want to make your way into that squad now? And then he said no. So he said no because of fears that it might damage him. I don't know how I would answer that, because it's like you are rejected, and then because an opportunity's come up, then they go, oh, now we need you. Like, how would you respond to something like that?
It's hard. It is hard to answer, because when we're talking from a round ball point of view, obviously going to a club like Bayern Munich, and you can understand when, I'm trying to compare it to an AFL sense. That's the easiest way I can understand it in my own mind. It's like a player playing the last few games of a round, knowing that you potentially could be traded. So not playing in the last couple of games.
Yep.
In the sandful, sorry. That's what I'm trying
to say.
Yeah,
or look at it this weekend.
I don't want to get injured.
Exactly. Well, look at Riley Knight from Woodville West Torrens. He plays round one for the Eagles. He plays the state game and he's injured. So now he can't play for Sam Jacobs in the second game of the season. So Nestori might be thinking that. Like it's, but then the rejection side of thing, as you said, like it's a really challenging conversation to have and to make someone feel like that because now Marco Tilio is not available. I don't know. But the other thing is, I know for a fact that clubs don't like players playing international football. The Socceroos, when they played a couple of weeks ago against Lebanon, they lost Riley McGree due to injury. So he's at Middlesbrough at the moment. They lost Jordy Boss. They lost Aidan Fustich. Three players that after the international break had to go back and not be available for their clubs.
And that's probably why the AFL clubs have been so scared of having State of Origin come back, whether that's at the start of the year or mid-year. You can imagine if one of your highest paid players and biggest name of the club goes down with a knee or breaks his collarbone and is out for the rest of the season leading into a finals campaign.
Yeah.
It'd be it'd make a huge difference to that season.
Yep, it's going to be a really challenging time for Adelaide United without Nestori Irinkunda next season. I did have a conversation with someone very close to Craig Goodwin last week. Craig loves Adelaide. That's all I'll say about that. He really loves Adelaide. We got a text coming through on 0427 154 166. This is from Julie. It says, morning, gents. Great show this morning. Listen every day. Keep up the great content. See you on the Oval, Bryce. That's Julie.
I know Julie. Julie's the head trainer down at South Adelaide, actually. And spent a bit of time with you in the state game.
Well, this is the thing. I reckon I met Julie on Thursday night at the Guernsey presentations. And she was so lovely. She came up and just said, hey, I listen every day. I'm like, well, text in the show. You have to. She was absolutely lovely. And I don't think these trainers get enough cred. The players, the coaching staff, but these trainers are out there doing everything that they can. They get some state stuff too, which is awesome.
Was it long time listener, first time texter?
Yeah, and I said, I will get a prize for you, but I don't think we got prizes today. When we do, Julie, we'll make sure you get a prize. It is 13 minutes to 8. We are here thanks to Tyre Power, selected Toyo tyres. Buy three, get one free. In a moment, we need to talk about what's going on with Jeremy Finlayson and the Port Adelaide Football Club. And a particular phrase which is thrown around in relation to these on-field incidents. We'll get your thoughts on it next. Bryce Gibbs, it's SEN.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power up sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
8 minutes to 8 on SEN SA Breakfast. Bryce Gibbs in the chair for Mark Bickley this morning. Mark Keane from the Adelaide Crows will join us smack bang after the 8 o'clock news. 1300 736 736. Before we talk about what's happening with Jeremy Finlayson in Grange. Good morning to you, Mark.
G'day, Walshy. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Look, I reckon in the junior side, I've seen the kid. He's a young kid. He acts and looks like Nesta. He just, the way he moves, I don't know if he's a relation, but there's one in Adelaide United. Would you know who that was?
There's a handful of players in their NPL team that are playing at the moment, and some of them are going to be given scholarship contracts. I'm not sure of his name. Mm. I think I know who you're talking about. But, Mark, if I could offer any advice, go check out the National Premier League. To give you some context, last season, Adelaide United's team won that tournament. And this year, their NPL side has, I think, 8 new faces because those 8 boys are either playing A-League or have been given scholarship contracts. So what that means is they train the same hours as the Adelaide United boys. They're paid a little bit differently. But if you think about the players of like Ethan Aligic, Fabian Talladira, Giuseppe Bovolina,
yes,
Johnny Yull, they have a handful of teenagers that are the next crop of youngsters. So there's certainly a lot of Nestori Irinkunda's in the pipeline. His talent is world-class, but yeah, there's the future's bright for Adelaide United, Walsh, mate.
Walsh, you must meet at least the Adelaide United with their when they find youth, they really find some good kids, I must admit.
They do.
If you're ever looking at that department, they're doing a good job.
They do. And the other thing I love about what Carl Viet does is he plays the kids when they're good enough. He's not just giving opportunities to players to say, yeah, I've played a kid. Yeah. And you can see with some of these kids who are being sold, I think sometimes we sell the kids a little bit too young and we don't give them opportunity to grow in the league. But at least you know if you're a young player and you go to Adelaide United, if you're good enough and have the best attitude and approach, you are more than likely going to play professional football. So I appreciate it, Mark. Please make sure you come and say hello if you ever head to Cooper Stadium and go there on Friday night. Now, Gibbsy, we've got to briefly talk about Jeremy Finlayson because we still haven't really heard anything in regards to a sanction, a fine, a suspension, and the teams come out tomorrow. So something has to happen today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it is a little bit surprising that this hasn't been knocked on the head a little earlier. I mean, it happened, what, Friday night, Port played. So we all know he came out and made a statement a couple of days ago. Yeah, does it suggest there's maybe something else going on that the AFL are investigating? Not too sure, but I would have thought this would have been wrapped up already.
Yeah, so I know that everyone met yesterday. So the AFL, the club, and Jeremy. Whether this is them all agreeing to the sanction, because something will happen and you would think that he's going to miss games of football. Had a text coming in there on 0427154166 from Will, who's a brilliant contributor to the show, saying there was an NRL player that received an 8-week ban for a racist slur. The AFL talks a big game when it comes to equality, but are as weak as water when they have their moment to do something meaningful. There's been a lot of comparisons to Taylor Walker and what happened. Sometimes I think that gets a little bit confused because it sometimes becomes a Crows and Port issue, especially in South Australia. However, we shouldn't be trying to determine the difference between something that is racist and something that is homophobic. They all fall under the same banner of the training that I mentioned this yesterday. I'm just the match day MC. I get that training. You would have got that training. And it's the way that this training works is you basically get like a PowerPoint presentation. You scroll through it. And then at the end of that presentation, you get quizzed on all of the things in regards to what could be said that could be offensive. If you get the quiz wrong, you have to sit there and do the whole training again. So you actually have to go through the training to experience it. So it's not like the players aren't educated on what is right and what is wrong.
No, and there's been education the whole time I've been in the system, for the last 20 years, there's been these education pieces put in for this exact reason, to stamp this out of the game. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he knew he said the wrong thing. He was very remorseful after it, and you have to give him a little bit of credit to get on the front foot and put his hand up straight away. That obviously doesn't take away what he said, and it was the wrong thing to do. And I mean, Alistair Clarkson had an incident not that long ago where he just escaped with a fine. So, well, where do the AFL go with this? Fines might not be enough in terms of stamping this sort of stuff out, but then how can you suspend someone when you've already given a penalty like a fine out? There's so many elements that are coming into this. But
I also think with the Clarkson thing, so I think he received a really soft penalty, but then shouldn't that be a reminder to the rest of the competition? Okay, so we've done this to Alistair Clarkson. We're going to show you that we'll do something. So if it happens again, we'll take it up a notch. Like there hasn't been any kind of like any. I think Jeremy should have every understanding of what he did was wrong, and he self-reported, which is absolutely fine. But he should be expecting to miss games of football.
I tend to agree with you. Yeah, and if. Unfortunately, someone needs to be made an example of so that this just does not happen. Like, it shouldn't happen in the first place, Walshy. We understand people make mistakes. But, yeah, when we're talking about your sexuality, someone's religion, someone's background, people know that this is just a no-go zone. So,
Can I say, and people will always say that I'm a... because I represent Port Adelaide at a match day and stuff, they'll always, as they will with you, with the Crows and Carlton, they say you'll go lightly. if Port Adelaide make a stand from a club point of view, and if the AFL don't stand him down and Port do, I'd be proud of the Port Adelaide Football Club for doing that. And I think that's the right decision to be made. If we genuinely care about being equal and right, then I couldn't be more proud of my club if they say, hey, no, you need to miss football, Jeremy, because of this.
Yeah, and I think Jeremy, they've come out and publicly said, we will cop any sanction that is handed down to us. So he's prepared to cop it on the chin and move forward from there.
We need to head to the news because we are going to speak to Mark Keane from the Adelaide Crows as they prepare to do battle in the Bryce Gibbs Cup this weekend. It's a highly sought after bit of silverware. And are you going to be presenting that?
I'm actually third or fourth in line. I think Eddie Betts gets the title and then maybe Sam Jacobs. And
David Gallagher.
David Gallagher. I come in very late in the piece.
Andrew Eccles.
Cup.
Andrew Ben Eccles. Nelson. Oh, mate, I'm across this stuff.
You've been doing your homework.
It's 8 o'clock on SENSA. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bickley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumho passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
2 minutes past eight on SENSA Breakfast. Our nominations for That's Ace before 8:30 this morning. Fast, efficient and safe deliveries. Don't risk it. Ace it. Ace at transport.au. Mark Bickley is out today. Bryce Gibbs is in, which is quite fitting because the Bryce Gibbs Cup is this weekend. The Adelaide Football Club preparing to take on the undefeated Blues. The Blues wanting to stay undefeated. The Crows looking for their first win of the season, and someone who will have a big hand to play in that is a player that Gibbsy, I reckon, played their best game for the football club to start gather round against the D's last week, and that is Mark Keane. Mark, good morning to you. Yes, disappointing result for the team, but you must be pretty happy with your performance personally.
Hi, lad. Thanks a million for having me. I suppose the more games I get more comfortable with the game. I suppose I didn't have 18 years playing the game, so yeah, every game counts, whether it's at any level. So more games, the better it is for me.
So how is the group, Mark? Obviously 0-4, everyone seems to be a little bit down on confidence. How is everyone? And no doubt we'll be trying their best to get up and look for your first win for the year this week.
Yeah, no, like speaking to fans, like we're still looking for that first win. Like it's frustrating, but we know how good we can be. And then there's obviously parts we need to work on, like fundamentals, execution and decision making. But yeah, the lads are kind of still positive and this week shouldn't change. Like we just go in looking for a win.
So who's been driving that? Has it been more of a Nixie and a coach thing, or has it been more of a player-driven thing? Obviously, a lot of has been spoken about the skill execution and the lack of connection going forward. Coaches can put all the systems in place, but the players still need to go out and execute that plan. So has it been more driven by the coaches, or has it been a players thing that they've taken responsibility for and really want to get out of this funk?
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of both. Like the coaches putting a bit of pressure on us and a few leaders like talking to meetings about just about being professional and what we can do to get better every day, whether it's staying in half an hour extra. But yeah, it's all down to yourself and you're driving your own career. So it's just about up to yourself to get better.
Is the messaging from Matthew Nix and the coaching staff coming through really clear? There's glimpses in every game that the Crows have been in, especially that last quarter where the fans are saying, well, if the team played that way in the other three quarters, we wouldn't be talking about a 0-4 start. So is everything coming through clearly?
Yeah, no, definitely it is. Like the structure and system, it was all there. It's just a few fundamentals there. We kind of give a few teams a bit of a lead and then we kind of realise, oh, we have to turn it on to come back. And we just leave it that too late every week. But hopefully this week that we can start good and hopefully not give up a lead.
Well, it doesn't get any easier for you this week. You play Carlton, who are undefeated and have got a pretty handy couple of twin towers up in their forward line. How are you enjoying the challenge each week of playing against the best forwards in the comp? And how are you looking to combat Harry and Charlie this weekend?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I suppose every team has a really good one if not two, key forwards. So you know that you're definitely going to be in the contest. So you just have to be prepared for every contest. But yeah, this week doesn't change much. Like, obviously very good two key forwards. But yeah, hopefully me and Botsy can work together and try to get that done.
We were mentioning before, Mark, that there was no Sandful action over the weekend, so it would have been pretty challenging for the coaching staff to have a look at players up for selection, but you've been part of training. Are there a group of players putting their hand up to be considered?
Yeah, no, definitely. A lot of young players, like I suppose Billy Dowling, Dan Curtin, Lockie Gallant is there as well, Will Hamill. So, yeah, there's loads of people putting their hand up for selection.
Tell us about Dan Curtin. He hasn't had an opportunity to start the year yet, and he is another key defender like yourself. How have you been impressed with his development, and are you helping him out where you can?
Yeah, no, definitely. I actually used to live with him, so I'm still fairly close to him. So, yeah, his skills from the back line is very good. Like, you'd know he can play in, as a midfielder as well, because he's so agile down back. But yeah, he can play tall, small, whatever. So I think he just needs to be patient. And when his time comes and when he comes in, then hopefully he stays in.
Now, Mark, is this Dan Curtin you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Now, I need to question this because I have spoken to a good friend of Dan Curtin's from Western Australia, and the biggest feedback that I had in regards to Dan Curtin is that he spends more time FaceTiming his girlfriend than he does focusing on football. Because you live with him, can you confirm this now? Is he hiding away in his room just all loved up?
I used to live with him, but yeah, when I was living with him, I can confirm that was definitely true. He probably spent 50% time watching footy and then the other 50% talking to his girlfriend.
I wanted to ask you about Carl Gallagher as well, because you notably went back to Ireland after a bit of time in the AFL system because there was an element of homesickness. For you, are you finding yourself happy, settled in Adelaide? And is that something that you pass on to Carl to ensure that he's actually got the right support network here too?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I went home and absolutely loved my time at home. But yeah, thought could come back out here and give it another go. And moving in the right direction. Like, I didn't go home for Christmas, which 4 years ago when I was at Collingwood, I would have laughed in your face if you told me I wanted to go home for Christmas. But yeah, I stayed here for Christmas this year, just put my best foot forward. And Carol's learning off that as well. Like, Carol seems to really enjoy it over here in Australia. But and as you're a professional, so you have to do everything you can to put your best foot forward. But no, he's absolutely loving it. I'm living with him as well, so that's all going well.
Carl is a fascinating human being. I spent a bit of time with him, and you can see the caliber of player that he brings. But what don't we know about him? His Gaelic football is absolutely outstanding, and he's a big name over in Ireland.
Yeah, I suppose he's only played maybe two or three games. But I think as the year goes on, you'll see he'll just get better every game, and he'd have to move up down forward now as well. So I think he can turn out to be a very dangerous small forward. He's a bit like Conor McKenna from Brisbane. So when he played forward, that's a small bit of a glimpse of what you get.
Mark Keane, we appreciate your time. As we said, well done at the start of your career with the Adelaide Football Club and what you've been able to do this year too, especially. And it's a big game. It really sets up the whole season where it's statistically win or farewell to finals if history is anything to go by in the AFL era. So good luck for your team's sake, and thanks for joining us on SEN.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Mark Keane joining us there. He was really impressive, Bix, and a player that I think it surprised a few.
Yeah, no,
I called you Bix then.
It did. It was a bit of a slap in the face, wasn't it? And looked me dead in the eye as you were saying it too. So thanks for that.
But, so sorry.
He has been impressive and probably been thrown in the deep end at the same time. But he's really handled himself really well. They've been obviously conceding a lot of inside 50s, so he's always in the play. But he reads the ball well, marks it, kicks the ball lovely as well. So he's been a shining light in the Crow season so far.
Now, the time is 11 minutes past 8. We have our nomination for That's Ace in a moment. A bit of feedback coming through on the text line as well in regards to the language translation. I had to take a bit of time there, but I love that. This is the great thing our game does. It's SENSA. Good morning.
Breakfast with Mark Bigley and Jared Walsh.
Tyre Power. Power Up Sale is now on with 25% off on Kumo passenger, SUV and four-wheel drive tyres.
27 minutes past eight. Been a big show today. Bryce Gibbs, it's been a pleasure. We were just talking about the Adelaide Footy League, and on 0427 154 166, another of your former teammates has actually got a new club too.
How could we forget Matthew Broadbent going back to his junior footy club, the Henley Sharks?
Henley Sharks is a good
going
football
back
club
to play with his brother. So, yeah, it's the Adelaide Footy League filtered with ex-AFL and great players.
Good guy as well, Matty Broadbent. Tomorrow on the show, we will speak to Miles Bergman from Port Adelaide. They play against Fremantle this weekend. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with selection because I think Sean Darcy might be available, so maybe they'll go the two-ruck combo with Luke Jackson.
Yes, well, they are having some trouble scoring, so whether they play Darcy as a forward just to give him some runs in the bank, get his lungs going again. And then, I mean, if you play both of them, you have to play Darcy as the number one ruck and put Jackson forward. But then Luke Jackson's been so good in the ruck, it takes away his strengths, what he can do in a ruck contest and his work around the ground. So it's going to be an interesting...
Well, it will, because then that begs the question. So let's just say that Jeremy Finlayson is not going to play for Port Adelaide. Sam Pelpepper is the player who is available for selection. But if they need to go height in the ruck, does that mean Jordan Sweet's name comes into contention? Because Charlie Dixon is Charlie Dixon, so he's not going to be moving around the ground a fair bit.
We have seen him ruck in the last couple of years, though, Charlie. Yeah. So Pal Pepper's done some rucking, actually.
Yes, Ollie Wines has
Ollie
even
Wines
been in
as well. So you never know what Kenny might have up his sleeve.
We're going to speak to Aaron Greaves, who's part of the coaching staff at Carlton, and also Darren Burgess, who takes care of the fitness at Adelaide. He has just bought in to peak performance here in South Australia alongside Sean Baker, but also what Darren is planning to do with that facility is massive. And as we know, like, it gets said a lot, but Darren Burgess is responsible for keeping Fernando Torres on the park in his Liverpool days, wasn't he? And Stevie Gerrard. So make sure you keep on listening. Anything you miss, you can listen to the podcast. Gibbsy, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. And I would love for you to come back. If Bix is fatigued tomorrow, will you join us then?
You've got my number. Just let me know.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of the day. It's been SENSA. Good morning.